Peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning we focus our attention on our gospel reading from John chapter 11, where we hear of God's great love for all of his people, his love for Lazarus and his love for you. You may be seated. My song is love unknown. My Savior's love to me. That's the song that our Lord sings, and sometimes that love is unknown to us. Not because God doesn't make it clear to us, but because we don't always understand. And when we don't understand the fullness of the love that God has shown to us, we are in need of good news. And today I'm sure that some of you are in need of some good news, aren't you? War and strife and sickness and poverty are going on all around us. Maybe your team lost in the first round. I'm sure that all of us could make a list of all of the things that could be going better. I had a conversation in the narthex just this morning about the good days and the bad days. We all could make that list, which is why all of us need some good news. And it's why I have good news to proclaim to you this morning. A little glimpse of Easter right here in the fifth Sunday of Lent. And here it is. God has a resurrection for you. He wants to bring you out into the light again. He wants to bring you out of that tomb of sickness, of grief, of despair, and certainly that tomb of sin that you find yourself in all too often. And he wants to give you a new start. And he has the power to do it. He can bring you back to life. And because he can and he will do it, what I want you to hear this morning is that it is time to get up. Time to get up and hear your Lord calling to you as he called out to Lazarus in the grave, and get up out of whatever tomb it is that you find yourself in. Not by yourself, because these are states that we can't come out of on our own, but by the power of God, come out. Hear the Lord calling out to you in your despair, in your grief, in your sickness, and in your sin, because all of these are graves that we find ourselves in. But for God, the grave is temporary. I heard one preacher describe the grave as fragile. And I love that description of the grave as fragile, especially when it's met with the power of God's resurrection. Because God has the power to overcome the grave. And because of that, it is fragile. Which is what we see in the account of Lazarus, who, when Jesus came, had already been in the tomb 4 days. This powerful account that we hear here in John 11 speaks to this resurrection that Jesus accomplished for Lazarus, but also it speaks to the resurrection that he has for each of you. So let's recap the details real quickly of our account, that long gospel account that I made even longer for you this morning. Mary and Martha, they live in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, and they're some of Jesus' closest friends. And they send word to Jesus that their brother is desperately ill. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But by the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus has died and he's been in the grave 4 days already. So Martha comes out and she meets Jesus along the road, and she expresses her grief with just a little bit of accusation thrown in there. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then Mary follows suit with that very same statement when Jesus calls her to come out and see him as well. And then all the family and the friends, they're gathered and they're in their deep sorrow. They're weeping over the loss of their friend and their family member, Lazarus. And the heart of Jesus goes out to them. And Jesus weeps with them. Because he loved Lazarus too. And he loves each and every one of them. And he shares in their pain. And so Jesus goes out to the tomb with them and he says to them, "Take away the stone." And Martha, always the practical sister, protests, saying, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days." And then Jesus reminds her what he said to her before, which is, "If you believed, you would see the glory of God." So they roll away the stone, and Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And with those words, his four-day brush with death is over. It's time to get up. And incredibly, amazingly, miraculously, before their very eyes, Lazarus is resurrected. He comes out of the tomb. He still has all the grave cloths on. His head and his feet are still wrapped with these bandages. And then Jesus turns to the friends and to the family and he says to them, "Unbind him and let him go. Unwrap him and set him free from this bondage, because now he can live in freedom." In this graphic and dramatic account, there are two lessons that really jump out at us. Probably there's a whole lot more than that, but for today, we'll address two great truths which emerge and can also be very helpful for us today. And the first one is this: Jesus wept with those he loved, and he still does. And the second one is this: Jesus raised people up, and he still does. Jesus wept with those he loved, and he still does. Many people try to point out that it made no sense that after Jesus had heard that Lazarus was ill, that he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. They'll try to say that if he really loved Lazarus, he would have raced off to Bethany immediately to heal him. But Jesus has so many lessons to teach. And one of them, one of those lessons that he needs us to learn, is that he is able to sympathize with us because he is one of us, except without sin. Last week we heard about that man who had been born blind, and that it was not that this man had sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. In the same way, what happened to Lazarus needed to happen so that Jesus could display his care and his concern and his compassion for those who would otherwise have been lost in their grief. They didn't have any idea what to do except for cry over the loss of their beloved brother. And Jesus needed them to know that he was right there with them. He was in that grief with each of them. He was displaying the same human emotions that we do when we lose a loved one. And it's not just grief that he can sympathize with us in. He knows all of the stresses and struggles of trauma, of anxiety, of sickness, of pain, of every single temptation that we face. This is why he had to be fully human, so that he could die as that perfect sacrifice for each and every one of us. And it's very easy for us to see how Mary and Martha must be feeling when their brother falls sick and then he dies. We've been there. And we've been there when, despite our most fervent prayers, it seems that Jesus doesn't show up to answer them. It's easy to see how in these times that even faith could begin to falter. What we wanted to happen doesn't happen. Jesus, who could absolutely have arrived in time to save Lazarus, allows this to happen so that he can be there with those who are experiencing these human emotions. So he can experience them along with them. So that they can see that he is there for them. He's right there in those awful, dark, painful times. And he's there for us in those times as well, so that we will know that he cares. He cares for you. And he fights for you. He's right there with Mary and Martha. And he even weeps with them. Now, Jesus might not always be, he might not always prevent the terrible things from happening in your life. But he will be with you right there through them all. Walking with you. And carrying that burden that's too heavy for you to carry on your own. And while there is a very tremendous comfort to know that the Lord is with us through the thick and thin, he's there with us in the good times and in the bad, the second point is even more powerful than that. Jesus raised people up, and he still does. Jesus certainly allowed Lazarus to die so that he could walk through that grief with his friends. But he also did it so that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. He even says it to the disciples in that conversation that they have where he uses that euphemism for death, that he fell asleep. And the disciples don't understand. Well, if he fell asleep, he's going to wake up, right? And Jesus has to make it perfectly clear to them, no, he died. But then he says to them, but he will be raised up. What a promise that Jesus gives. He makes it clear to the disciples exactly what he's going to do. And he's made it clear to us what he will do for us as well. He will raise us up. As I said before, Jesus had many lessons that he needed to teach the disciples. And his time on earth is becoming very short at this point. In fact, right after the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus is anointed at Bethany. And then he makes his way triumphantly into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, which begins the final week of his earthly life. So getting his disciples and the rest of his followers and anyone else who is willing to hear, to understand that he has power even over the grave, is essential for Jesus to do. And just as that man needed to be born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him, so also Lazarus needed to be dead so that they would all see the glory of God. It's really interesting to me that in this account, this group of Jesus' followers didn't doubt that Jesus could have saved Lazarus had he gotten there while he was still alive. Because they've witnessed tons of healings. They've witnessed all of these miracles that Jesus has done. So that they know he's special, they know he's extraordinary, but their faith was not prepared for Jesus' power over death. After all, illness and hunger and even casting out demons are one thing, but death is another. Or is it? For God, it's not. If God could breathe life into those dry bones in the valley and use Ezekiel to prophesy and make that happen, then he can also raise a man from the dead. And if he can raise one man from the dead, then he can raise two. And if he can raise two, then he can raise every single person from the dead. And he will. But not before he does exactly what he was sent to do, which is to die himself so that he might rise from the dead. Because his ultimate power over death is sealed with his own resurrection. That's the victory over the very first problem that ever entered into God's perfect creation, which is sin that leads to death. And from that moment on in the Garden of Eden, everyone will know and will experience death. But through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we don't need to fear that death. For through it, he conquered death and the grave. Our sin, which leads to our death, was carried by Jesus to that cross, and there he paid for it. Which is why in his resurrection, Jesus can promise to us that our death is not the end. And why you can confidently say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? To believe in Jesus is to have his resurrection be the promise of your resurrection. And to have the ability to live in that resurrection reality even today. Our Lord let Lazarus die so he could teach all of that to the world. May the Holy Spirit, who comes to us through his word, teach us that very same thing, that we too might believe and have eternal life. Eternal life that actually has already begun for us, because our Lord has already called us out of the grave and tells us that it's time to get up. Time to get up and live in that resurrection reality, which is such a beautiful life to be living in. And also so that many more might know and believe and also live in that reality. So today we celebrate this little glimpse of that Easter reality. Even in a time where over these next couple of weeks we continue our walk with Jesus toward the cross, that place where he won for us, for each and every one of us, that victory that he now proclaims over the grave, over sin and over death, for you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You may be seated.